Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to Paranormal Ride. This is your host, Marlon O, and I'm back. Yes, every week on Mondays, I am live talking about all things paranormal. You know how I do. You know what I'm about. You know what I be at. Here on Blog Talk Radio, talking about fantasmas, ghosts, all the good stuff that has to do with the paranormal world. And it's really the world that we live in and things that we see and do and touch, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about, I think that y'all have felt it for such a long time, you know. I know that, you know, kind of getting into this over the, you know, several years that I've been heavily involved, I just feel like there's so much of the stuff, you know, so much paranormal stuff that I think people are becoming more like aware of and really kind of like, I guess, awaken to all this, you know, all this amazing stuff that I think a lot of us already know all about, you know, but it's hard to sometimes have a conversation about it because it still seems a little kind of on the edge, you know, and it's, I think little by little, that's definitely changing, but so we're gonna talk about talking with ghosts. That was good. And the whole show is dedicated to how people do it. Is it possible? And your boy here has actually been able to make contact. So I'm gonna tell you all about that and how that went. Some of it I'm going to tell you right now. You need to prep before you go ahead and try to do what I'm going to tell you, you can do and how you can do it. You know, it's one of those things, you know, like people just want to jump into the paranormal kind of like investigation and get into this thing without really thinking it fully like through what that really, really means and what it entails and what it takes and kind of the stuff that you yourself would go through. You know, the days leading after the, you know, the days leading to the actual investigation and after what happens to you once you've gone through it. So if you're like a medium and you've gone through this kind of stuff as well, you know how it drains your body, how it can change the way you kind of see the world and what you expect from the world. I know this sounds really deep, but trust me, it can get very deep like this. And that's what I love about the paranormal, because it's not just regular stuff that we talk about, you know. You know, it's like everyday mundane kind of work. It's really our life. It's really about what we are facing, you know, socially and mentally all the time. We're bombarded. Sometimes we don't even know why or how. And, you know, we have all these like questions about our personal lives and how we get to where we get to. And I don't want to sound like it's like, you know, this bizarre mystery, but it's all connected, you know. Everything that we do is very, very connected. It's very, very intentional. And, you know, we follow certain paths for certain reasons. And I think that when I got more involved with this, you know, I felt like for a little while, I felt like I was the only one kind of like talking about this out loud. And then I realized that people have been talking about this in their heads out loud. You know, not really sharing until I kind of bring it up and they're like, you know something? I have this. Oh, look what I have. Just recently, I've been bumping into people who carry rocks, like rocks that are, again, help produce positive energy, you know, to help, you know, bring you to a different level. So I find that super fascinating. So I was hanging out with a friend yesterday and you know, I think it was a long day for both of us. So I guess the energy was really just right. And it was just a lot of cool things happening. Like things were kind of like going on full steam. And then we talked about energy and positive energy and how to maintain it. And then she said, I carry rocks. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what kind of rocks do you carry? And then she showed me her collection of rocks she carries everywhere with her. It was awesome. Each rock had different type of properties that do certain things to you, protect you in certain ways, or do all that stuff, or push away negative energy. And, you know, I think a lot of us are more sensitive to this energy than I think we're comfortable talking about. It's one of those things, right, when you're convinced that, you know, you have the answers and you know what's going on. And then when, you know, really bad stuff happen or things that shouldn't be happening is happening to you, and then you realize, you know, the thing that you were, you know, had with you all the time, rocks, for example, special rocks, they are not with you that time all this craziness happened. It starts to, like, make you think just a little tad bit that something is you know, can protect you or doesn't. I carry with me a quartz, little tiny quartz mineral. I think they call them minerals. I'm calling them rocks. I'm sorry for all those people who are geologists and or the whatever it is that you study for rocks, minerals. I'm so sorry, but that's what I'm just calling it, just generically, just like, you know, I would say people. I'm not, you know, identifying each person culture in a certain way. Anyway, so all right, folks. So today's show, like I said, is all dedicated to talking to ghosts. You can call them spirits. You can call them whatever you want. I'm talking about that today. A lot of things kind of led up to this show and the reason I picked it. And I feel like the show kind of talks about what my weekly life is about. So last week was about the Mayan code. Of course, people know me. I'm Guatemalan. So I have a lot of Native in me. So that kind of stuff was natural to me, but, you know, the sixth sense and stuff like that was something I was kind of facing with people, and they were giving me some interesting perspectives that helped me get where I am now. It's funny because I meet people all the time that are changing the way I kind of see the world and kind of think about things, you know, and that's a great thing, because if I don't have that opportunity to communicate with these great people, then I think I would be a mess. You know, I think I think my path is not predestined like a lot of people. I don't believe so much on, you know, kind of destiny. I believe that, in other words, you know, I don't think that, you know, I can control it, but there is a destiny that is set, but I can actively change what that is. So if my destiny was to be, you know, in, let's say, an airplane ride, and I land somewhere, and then when I go to the first bathroom stall, there's like $1 million in whatever in that, and I become super rich, and people say, is that your destiny? And I would say, yeah, it's probably my destiny, but I don't think it's as random and as inaccessible as that, you know. I think that there's some things that are destined for me, you know, for them to happen, and then my role is to intervene, and all of it intervening in a way that's positive, not destructive, not in a way that's passive or thoughtless, that I say, hey, whatever, you know, wherever I roll is where I land. That's not at all your destiny. That's actually not living up to your destiny, if that makes sense. So was I destined to talk to ghosts? Was I destined to be in this paranormalness? I'm going to say it was in the horizon. I'm going to say it was there, and I chose the path, and I got there, and I'm there. I'm here. I'm walking. I'm talking about paranormal. If you all want to call in, feel free. If you want to just listen, go ahead and do that. 646-564-9613. That is the telephone line you can call in to talk to me live, and I'm here for you guys. I'm also loading the chat room. A little while I've been having some tech issues with this chat room. I hope that, you know, you guys Last week I had some good, good chats with you all. So please feel free to join in anytime and do that, because you guys have so much awesomeness to say, and I really appreciate, when you guys, jump in here and give me that info. I mean, I need your energy too. You know, I can't always do this by myself. I do the show live, broadcasting from Boston, Mass. If you guys don't know what Boston is, that is in the northeastern part of the United States. It's super cold right now for no reason. Well, no, there is a reason. We live in New England. It's cold. But it's super cold up here. It's like in the 20s. So if you're in the warm southern states like Florida, jealous. Very jealous. So hopefully I'll be visiting the good old Florida pretty soon. There might be some changes coming that way. So, I need to go see where that energy is going to be or going to go. It's all art-based, which is kind of awesome. You know, art is kind of where I live, and my mind is always there, kind of like dancing around with art in many ways, through music, through videos, photography, that life, my people. So I hope you guys had a good week. This is a very stressful week for a lot of people. If you're into the holidays, you're into Christmas, you're into Hanukkah, whatever it is, the holidays, this brings up a lot of things that, you know, that affect people's minds and energy. And I hope that you guys are having a good week. It's definitely not about the presents. I think you all know that. I think people who listen to this show are at a higher level. It's not about that. It's definitely about the energy that you bring during this time to people that are, you know, that surround you, the people that love you, the people that say that they love you, and you know, all these things are, it's where your energy should be living mostly, because, like, again, you know, life is very difficult. So much going on in this world, a lot of negative stuff, but also a lot of positive stuff, and don't forget about that positive stuff, because it's alive and there, and it's kind of bouncing around. So if you just let the negativity kind of consume you, no matter how good the positives are, it just doesn't matter. It's going to always overshadow it, because you're living in that negativity. So try to switch that around. So hopefully this week, I want to set an intention, and that would be that going through this week, you forget about the gifts, you forget about the material stuff, you concentrate mostly on how you can become a better self coming forward, because the new year is coming in a couple of weeks. We're 2 weeks away from the new year, 2018. Next week is going to be Christmas, so I'm going to have a show. It's going to be a late night show, same time, 7 to 8:30. My bad. And we're going to do it. And then the following episode is a New Year's episode. We are going to have a New Year's one. I'm going to talk about New Year's, you know, what it means to you, to me, to everybody else, friends and family. I've been reading some really cool, positive tweets. I tweet a lot. So if you go to Paranormal Ride, you can go to Instagram, you can go to Facebook. All of it is there for you guys to send me messages. Again, like I said, the chat room is open. You can feel free to send me messages. It's free. The chat room, just go to blogtalkradio.com and sign in, make an account. I don't know if you actually have to make a complete account. You can be a guest, and then go ahead, just check us out, chat with me, send me messages. I'm always available to chat, or send me something and I can read it on the air later, which I tend to do a lot throughout the show. But there you go. All right, so let's get into the topic of talking to ghosts, fantasmas, which means ghosts in Spanish. But I think I started a lot of my, like, paranormal journey kind of living in that kind of, like, wandering stage of life, thinking about, you know, what does it mean to die? What does it mean to cross over, to be on the other side, you know? And it's one of those, like, really daunting, it could be for a lot of people very depressing concept and thought about, you know, to think about this kind of stuff. Like, what happens to your body once the lights are out, you know? And I just recently had some family members who've passed away that were very dear and near to the family and to me myself. One personally, I just dedicated a show sometime in July, the week of July 4th. My grandma passed away and she moved on. And 10 years before that, my grandpa had passed away too. So really big losses in the last, you know, last 10 years, and with other family members, but they were all, you know, they were all, at the time, you know, they had made it, they had full lives, and they were, you know, old already, and which is, you know, we're all getting there, but, all in due time, I guess, but, you know, they had lived such a great life and given so much back that, the loss was bittersweet, you know. We all knew that it was their time to move on. So I never actually thought about communicating with past, you know, kind of relatives that passed away or moved on. I felt very much at peace every single time, you know. So that was a blessing. Not everybody has that chance to lose a family member in a very peaceful and loving way. You know, some people go through some traumatic situations where they lose a family member because of drug abuse or violence or accidents or, you know, stuff like that. So mine have been, you know, natural causes. But people then, you know, start wondering how, you know, are there, how do I talk to this person? I never said X or Y and Z, or this, I think this person is communicating with me. What do I do? So as a child, I think I was rather not comfortable with the fact that a spirit can communicate with me. I think other people probably might have the same apprehension, you know, like the same kind of worries that, you know, I don't believe. So this is not me speaking. This is some people out there say, I don't believe in ghosts, but I know, you know, if something talks to me, then, you know, I don't want that either because, you know, it might terrify me. So people, a lot of people live in that like duality where they don't believe in it, but they're also afraid of it. You know, so if it does happen, that means that their belief system was totally out of, you know, whack and out of, you know, not really in balance. And that transforms a lot of people's lives and minds. So growing up, I wasn't sure about that completely, what that was going to do. Like if a apparition was to talk to me, a relative or whatever it was. But, you know, growing up, you hear all these stories, you know, appearances, you hear stories about, these, you know, ghost stories. And, you know, I think one of them that always stuck in my head, like, it I think defined a lot of the ghost kind of stories that I started listening to growing up. And, you know, they weren't like little urban legends or anything like that. It was an intense one. So I'm thinking like this. I'm thinking like there was a situation where my good friend, his family was having this like weird thing happening in their house. And I don't think I totally understood the whole story, only because as I was hearing it, I started blocking it out mentally. I'm like, calm blue ocean, calm blue ocean. And I was like, no, I don't think I want to hear this. I did hear it. And turns out that there was a spirit in the house. And then the only way they could appease it is to try to communicate, and then somebody suggested to leave water out on the table, you know, and that creeped me out completely. I'm like, dude, what happens if the bottle, you know, what happens if the glass is empty the next day, and a whole bunch of stuff like started like running through my head. I'm just thinking out like deeply, like how it went. Well, anyway, so I, what I did hear was that something had happened. The water was not fully gone, but it was missing some water, and then the haunting stopped. And I thought to myself, listen, you know, what happened really? Because I've been in that house many times, I've never experienced anything. But they would say that it would all happen during nighttime and when there was nobody around, and you know, like just the direct family, that they felt that it was a relative that was doing this haunting. The other one was when my my good friend, who of course I did the Ouija board with like a moron, and you know, I did it, but we did the Ouija board since in his house, and you know, the person who was going to sell the house, they were going to like move on, and you know, and of course I couldn't visit anymore because the family was in transition. So I remember them telling me, and you know, he had no reason for me to, he wasn't trying to impress me. You know, he said that one time they had to call the police because they thought somebody had broken into the house. like somebody was in there, like breaking things, and you know what? It was such a commotion. So the police came and they realized that the door was completely locked, the front and the back. Nobody had broken into the house. The windows were closed, and the house was fine. Nothing was broken. No walls, no doors, nothing. Something was going berserk downstairs, and they can hear footsteps of people running. If that didn't scare the crap out of anybody, if we just heard this for the first time, I know the house was. I turned pale white. I was like, dude, I've been in your house so many times. Like, what the heck did what did you all open? What portal was open? And what got out? And then they said that, they continue hearing voices and steps. And, like, that place was hot. Like, it was super haunted. And, you know, eventually they sold the house and left. But they said that, you know, people had reported things after to them that they just didn't know what was going on in the house. And, man, I mean, like, that kind of stuff, you know, when an apparition reaches out to you to communicate with you, that's a different level kind of thing, you know? And when they don't, then this is what the show is going to be all about. What happens when they don't? And then what happens if they're being subtle? What happens when you have a feeling something's in the room, something is talking to you or trying to, you know, possess you or whatever it is that's going on? What is it that's triggering this? How to communicate with? Do you want to communicate with this, or do you have to get somebody outside of who you are to be able to do this? Because in case, you know, something happens and you don't know what to do, are you stuck? So, I kind of think about, you know, my I've done investigations. I've gone out there and trying to communicate with spirits, and this is part of what I kind of what started the whole entire paranormal kind of radio show that I've been doing for the last 3 years. I was live for 2 years with another group, and then I took a hiatus and then came back. This is my first year and a couple of months that I've been doing the show. So hopefully by the, you know, next year, I'll be here, and it'll be a whole good 4 years of doing this stuff. And what triggered, you know, a lot of it is because like minds, you know, who are interested into this kind of stuff, kind of like, we kept on bumping to each other and found a way to create a show, you know, around it. But like I said, you know, this, you know, what the reason I started doing investigations is because I understood what was going on with the paranormal, that I believed in it enough, but I hadn't directly gone and tried to communicate or investigate myself in a hardcore way. So I did it for 3 years, and each investigation was super different. People would, you know, and this is some serious businesses that would let us know that this is happening, and things I can't mention only because these are like well-known establishments, and you know, I had to sign agreements that says pretty much you can't talk about this, you know, unless with written permission, right? So I can't talk about it. But I can tell you that what I heard and what I experienced in these locations, and, you know, you just won't know where they were. There's a couple of ones that are public that I can't talk about, which I will break down, you know, as the show progresses. But, try to commune with spirits, nothing new. You know, it's been going around forever. But now we're in a stage where digital technology has advanced so much, you know, with everything we do, our phones, our computers, and, you know, entertainment, everything is now different and at a different level. So I feel like a lot of this investigation has become more accessible to a lot of people. So that's why you see all these paranormal groups kind of jumping up and kind of like producing some very amazing recordings and investigations. So I'm going to tell you what I did. And all right, so before that, I need to go to break, and we'll be back very quickly and talk more about this, like, paranormalness that's going on. And we're all in tune to it. I really believe it. So we'll be back. I'm going to play one of my favorite jams. Be back, my peeps. Don't go too far. Talking to ghosts. Welcome back to Paranormal Ride. This is your host, Marlon O. Doing what I do, how I do when I do. All right, 646-564-9613 is the number you can call to talk to me live. Still haven't memorized the number, so when I said it so fast because I'm reading it, I read fast, okay? No, seriously, like there's so much to cover with this episode about talking to ghosts, man. I mean, do I want to? I don't know if I want to. Although I think it brings a lot of things into perspective, but in general, it's not something I want to do. It's complicated. You can open a lot of doors. You can open a lot of things to possibilities of things that sometimes it's not even worth it. But to some people, it might change things. It might re-energize you. It might give you opportunities to kind of help things, be able to move on, I suppose, right? That's, I think, maybe a big important part of it. But if there's something that's really dominating your life, that's not good. That's pretty much just sucking you dry, completely dry, as much as positive as you want to be. There's just certain people, certain things that no matter how much positive and loving kind of energy you give to that person, there's just no way that's going to be reciprocated, you know, and that's hard for a lot of people, not just, yourself, you know, but really for, it's really hard for the people that are trying to, almost suck you dry, if that makes any sense. But imagine a ghost doing the same thing to you. Like, you know, you have people sucking you dry, and now you have, spirits doing that to you. Man, that's a double whammy. Let's talk about this, talking to ghosts. How do you do it? Do you want to know? I'm going to tell you. Tell you how to do it. Be warned, it's not for everybody. All right, so everybody's heard about EVPs, so electronic voice phenomenons. All right, those are so hot right now. Like that's one of the biggest way for people to commune with folks on the other side. And so, how do you do it? So one of my favorite ways to do it is to do it with good old-fashioned tape. Like, you know, go to, like, CVS and buy a good old-fashioned, like, whatever store is near you, right, that has the tape recorders, like the old-school ones. Something about the old-school tape recorders and the way they capture audio using a magnetic strip is super high quality, the highest quality of recording that you can do when it comes to this paranormalness. Now, let me tell you why. Something about the tape, the cellulose type of material that's organic that captures this information is a lot different from digital. And digital tends to be very harsh and also tends to be very mechanical and clean. I something about organic recording mechanisms, it captures things in different frequencies and different ranges, and it's just so nice, you know. It's like some people are buying old school recorders so they can listen to records, and the way that the record sounds on the needle, and it's out of this world. I mean, it was one of the highest quality sounds that you can get. Anyway, so, but my second favorite is actually recording with a digital recorder, but not just the little dinky ones that you can buy that cost like $20. I actually have purchased equipment that's really expensive, and if you can't afford it, that's all good. Go for the cheaper brand, but the higher, the kind of more expensive ones, like I have something called the Zoom, and it's just called the H4N, and it's a really high quality recorder that has very sensitive microphone equipment on it, hardware that and it actually uses a real mic, which is kind of dope because it's actually not, you know, it's not as synthetic as I thought it was going to be, but it then captures and converts it onto a digital format, which is ideal if you do investigation. So I do that. So with the recorder, it's very sensitive and can pick up really low and high frequency sounds. And it has a nice range with that microphone. It's so good. But if you can get another mic that's even more sensitive, the recording becomes even not just better quality. It's just awesomeness, right? So anyway, so that's some ways, you know, to capture audio. So I've done it many, many times. One of the most compelling ones that I did was about a couple of years ago. I can't really play it back only because it's not my, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to a client. So, but you can go ahead and Google it and look for, you know, paranormal and do /EVP recordings. And you're going to find everyone on the internet to have some stuff and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm not going to waste people's time and, you know, play stuff like that. But anyway, so, the recording goes like this. We thought that there was an I might be a spirit here because of, you know, people reporting hauntings, and it was in a public space. It wasn't just like a somebody's house. So that's why I could talk about this and what the whole investigation was about. It was in it was in Somerville. It was at the castle. So we went over there, and just when you enter it, you can start feeling like this, like, I don't know, it's a vibe. It's totally a vibe, and it kind of makes you kind of, like, feel eerie. And as we were walking around, there was couples there. Some people were making out. Some people were just kind of, like, just hanging about, and they kept on looking at us. Like, what are you guys doing? I was like, dude, there's been a lot of reports of, you know, ghost sightings here and, you know, and voices. Like, we're just, you know, trying to capture, you know, kind of like what's going on here. But, you know, nothing direct, nothing kind of like, it was like somebody said, hey, there's a ghost of Fred here, and I think he's, you know, he died from an accident. Nothing like that. It was just like, we're going to go out there. We've heard reports. We're gonna cast the net, see what we catch. And we casted the net. And before going there, I do my research. I find out everything about the area, what's going on there, what happened. That's everything. So I kind of know what's up. So we get there, and I'm in charge of recording and getting, you know, and also doing video, capturing video and stuff like that. So as I was doing some video capturing, things were starting to happen. I started, you know, seeing like this weird shadow inside the, you know, one of the castles, observation tower. I think that's the only way I can describe it. It's like an observation tower. And inside there, it's locked. There's like the steps that kind of go around the tower, and it goes all the way. This is all inside. I can see inside. And it's locked away, and it's nobody can get in. I'm seeing something moving inside with my naked eye. You know, I just didn't have any equipment or anything. It looked like a heavy, dark mass. It was very, you know, you can see where the darkness was and where the shadows were, and this thing was thicker than that. And it was just really creepy to see. So I shined my light in that direction to see what was going on, and, you know, everything looked normal and it was fine. So I left the light there, and then I kind of walked away from the window because the windows is bars, like there's metal bars, and I could see right into the, you know, inside. So I placed my camera facing that direction. I started talking to the other investigator, and we were talking, and then I could see in the corner of where his head was this shadow like move, and I was wondering if it was his shadow. So I kind of like ignored it and was like, "It's I see something there," and he wasn't moving. And then I got to see him move a little bit. This is the investigator. And I can see that there was no way he was casting a shadow because there was no light on him. So the light that I had placed, I put it in the windowsill, and it was shining inside. So there was no way that he was casting a shadow that I can see. The shadow might be coming from a different angle, from a different lighting setting, but I had a light that was shining in a different direction. So it just if, you know, hey, I'm a film guy, so I know about lighting. It's not going to mess me up. So I set up lights. I do photography. I teach photography. I know how lighting works. So immediately it just hit me, and I was like, dude, that something's in there that's moving, and it's not you because your shadow is over here. So I busted out the footage, and I showed him the footage. I was like, listen, this is your shadow, the light shining this way. And it was nighttime too, so there wasn't multiple lighting sources. You know, the moon, actually the moon was full. There wasn't a lot of multiple lights that could have cast some shadows at that thickness and that intensity. So I showed him where his shadow was when he moved, and I showed him what was inside, and it was like, dude, there's something here. All right, so then we went to the second stage, into, you know, going to from visual, we got some visual confirmation to some audio confirmation. So I found out that area was there was an intense war there. It was the lookout during the Civil War, and when the Redcoats were invading, and this is people from England, when they were invading or trying to stop the rebellion that the United States was doing, and they had come to Boston. It was one of the major battles, and George Washington was there, and he was in that area as well, and they had an encampment near that area, and there was a battle there, and a lot of Redcoats had died in that battlefield and where I was standing. So the other lookout post was Bunker Hill, which is, you know, the famous quote, don't shoot until you see the white of their eyes and all that stuff. But that was I could see it from where this observation tower was that was built during the Revolutionary War. So we knew that there were dead people here. We knew that there had been soldiers that died. So I went on and asked the question. I said, are you a soldier, and are you here? Am I talking to you, or who is it that's here? And then I kept on asking more questions, and then the day left, and the day ended, and we went back to review the footage and to listen to the audio, and I have a special software that I use to look at the sound waves, and the sound waves gives me a good measurement of noise and what's in the frequency, and it's a pro editing audio software that FBI uses, investigators, people, movie films, people who do research. So this software is very intense, very, very intense, and very delicate. So I'm going through the audio, and I kept on, and what you do is you read the sound waves, you look at the sound waves, and you see where there's like peaks, like pretend there's like a flat, everybody's seen, the machines that measure heart rates, how you can see like there's a blip and it kind of goes up and down these little waves. Well, the software kind of does the same thing where it shows you the sound waves of your voice. So you can see where people are talking. So I would listen to those pieces and then what comes after. And I noticed there was one of the pieces where I asked a question, and this was the question that you were a soldier. There was like this little tiny sound wave that was there. So I would highlight it and amplify it so I can hear it. And then it clear as day it said yes. And then I asked the question if it was a soldier or who was I talking to. And right after I said that, it said general. So I didn't know that we captured this at the moment when we were there. I was able to hear this after. So, of course, we were all jumping for joy. We're like, dude, like this is crazy. It's actually responding to questions that we're asking. And that's what you're looking for when you do EVPs, that this thing is answering the questions you're asking. So for example, if we were to say, are you a soldier? And it says spaghetti, what I'm saying? You know that it's something else that's not communicating at all. Maybe it just could be somebody's voice in the background saying spaghetti, and you just forgot that somebody said that in the background, right? Those things happen, but the dangers when you're doing this is that you have to be careful that you don't have contamination. So usually when people say, why do they show at night? The ghosts just come at night. No, the only reason they do it is because there's less noise pollution. There's less airplanes and cars and people talking and with outside noise to really stop you from catching. I mean, they could do it all during the day. Most hauntings happen during the day when people are awake, not when you're sleeping. So that's the main reason investigations happen at night. It has nothing to do with the creep factor or the ghosts come out at night or whatever. It has to do 1,000% only about that. Okay, my people? All right. Getting back to investigating some more. So that was kind of my, like, I think my first official talking to ghosts moment. That was kind of like, damn it. Like, oh, I didn't really want to ever hear that, but I heard it. Can't take it back. Because that's what happens, you know. Once you start crossing the threshold and you kind of like, you hear it and you face it, it changes the way you look at the world. It's not the same anymore. Like, you know, people who have seen ghosts, they see the world differently. People who have seen UFOs, Bigfoot, the world is different. It doesn't, the things you hear doesn't make any sense anymore. Like the things that you are expected to believe, you know, are, you got a question now. So, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Like, there's a certain amount of responsibility when you're doing this kind of investigations. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just can't run in there just like thinking that, you know, that everything that you're going to do is going to not affect you, because it does. It simply just does. And, you know, and so how do you protect yourself from this kind of stuff? You know, how do you not fall off the, you know, the table, the go over the edge or whatever analogy you want to use, you know? And it's, some of it is simple and some of it is practical. And I'll tell you what I do. Every time I do an EVP session or some kind of investigation, I put batteries in my pocket, or I say a prayer, or I do an intention, and I say, all right, so those are three different things, right? So I do batteries, and they help so much. I don't feel drained. I don't feel tired. I don't feel like something's attaching to me. Sometimes these spirits need energy to be able to manifest or even produce some type of response. It might be some muffled, like, low pitch sound or high frequency sound. Just recently, I did an investigation, and I heard, you know, not voices, but I heard actual high pitched frequency noises of distortions that, when asked a question, it would respond back in a high frequency sound that wasn't audible. For me, it's not audible. Even for the device, it wasn't something that could be recorded, but it was definite interference and noise, and something was causing it. So, you know, I thought to myself, maybe it's the sound of something rustling next to us, you know, or the sound of a toilet flush or water running, whatever, you know, could cause a lot of noise. I actually recaptured that, and, you know, there was sound of water running, and it was really loud. It was the loudest thing that we did, actually, you know, was to run water, you know, with the recorder in such close proximity. And the sound waves weren't peaking. They were just loud, but they weren't peaking. What I mean about peaking is when you look at the sound waves, you see a big, giant, like, glob of distortion in sound waves, that it all sounds muffled, like a high static. So I knew that we weren't producing that high amount. The amount of noise wasn't done by us. It was done by whatever was trying to communicate, because it always happened when certain things that we were talking about, you know, about this possible spirit or inhumane spirit. And that's another point too I want to get to, about who you're actually trying to communicate with and who you actually communicate with. Some people think that, oh, listen, I talked to a spirit. Chances are you might have, but chances are you didn't. You might have talked to an inhumane entity, something that was never human, something that manifested based on your energy and what you kind of brought. You know what I'm saying? And that is where it gets really tricky, because then you're kind of giving it power, you know, and that can get kind of ugly, you know. And I've experienced some really interesting things that I kind of kick myself now, and I'm thinking to myself, in hindsight, I'm like, I should never have done that. Like, that, dude, like, that was such a bad idea. I thought it was a good idea at the moment, kind of thing. But it just was not a good thing. And it's not because, you know, we were intentionally trying to do something that wasn't like, you know, wasn't copacetic. It was just it actually fell into that mode almost. I don't know. I don't want to say by itself, because that nothing happens on its own. You know, nothing that we do ever just, you know, is nothing's a coincidence. You know, everything that we do has a has an intention. You know, that's the thing. Like everything that we happens to us, we attract it, and that's the ugly part about a lot of the truths that we hold. It's not that, you know, things are happening to us because of random. It's happening to us because we allow it to happen, you know. And once you have control of that, things will get a little better. All right, folks, we're going to take a break pretty soon. And let me tell you, just wrap up this thought about capturing spirits and stuff like that. So the other way to protect yourself is to say, to imagine, illuminating light, of positive light, a loving light, and what you do is you visualize it being covering your body, protecting you, kind of think of it like a stage light. You're in the dark, and then the stage light illuminates on you and then protects you. So that's very important that you visualize it, that you do that, along with maybe carrying batteries. I also carry a quartz stone that has a lot of energy as well. I keep on saying stones. I think they're crystals. or are they minerals? I'm sorry, geologists, or whoever you people are who look at stones, please don't judge me too harshly. So I carry that for protection as well, from energy vampires. Vampiros de energía, no los quiero. Energy vampires, I don't want you. All right, so the other way is just to do a simple prayer. Just, you know, if you're a Christian, do your Christian prayer, you know, and Our Father, or, you know, whatever it is, Catholic, if you do a Hail Mary, whatever, or any other religion, you know, whatever your prayers are, you know, use that, protect yourself, protect others. Another thing that I do too is I also put barriers around the space that I'm in. So I also tell this entity or the spirit, you are not allowed to do X, Y, and Z. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. So you tell it what you can't do. You can't. I would never say use my energy to, no, don't ever do that. That's asking for so many issues, so many problems. But anyways, we'll be back. We will talk more about this, because there's a lot more to cover. You know, when you got 30 minutes left in this show. So, you know, today is Monday, it's Lunes, my favorite day of the week. We get things started. We want good intention coming this week. It's a special week for a lot of people. It's a tough week for a lot of people. But let's, you know, kind of keep that energy to a high level. We need it. We all need it. It's important. We all, you know, there's so much going on today and, you know, in the news, which I'll cover pretty soon. But, you know, everybody stay positive, stay awesome. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and enjoy some of the tunes, because, you know, some of these tunes are paranormal. That's how I like to keep it. And some of it, it's all about Monday. All right, we'll be back. 646-564-9613 to talk to me. See, I did that. A little rhyming. Yeah, I did that. All right, folks. Yes, welcome back. Paranormal Ride. We do what we do. When we do, you know, trying to have some fun over here. Talking about ghosts and paranormalness and all that good stuff that go bump in the night. You know what I'm saying? You know, we kind of like don't run away. We kind of go towards that direction because that's what we are. Paranormal people. Thank you for joining me today on Monday. You just heard Luna. It's one of my favorite songs by Zoe. It's about Monday. So Luna, Lua, which is a Portuguese for the moon. So the moon is the moon. That's all I do is moon day, Monday. There you go. Now you know. All right, folks. We're talking about EVP, talking to ghosts, connecting with the other side. Do you want to connect with the other side? Is that something you're down with that you're going to roll with? It's not for everybody. I guarantee you that right now. Some people get overwhelmed by it. And then it can also open up some really weird things if you're doing investigations. If you're doing it at home or a neighbor's house or wherever it is that you're doing it, you have to find a way to close whatever it is that you open and set intentions to let this thing know that it has to move on. You communicated, you made the connection, you know what's going on, you know the answers. Help whatever it is move on. It doesn't belong there. As much as we kind of become comfortable with these spirits or become comfortable with the fact that they're there, they're not really supposed to be there. They're either spirits that are not at rest or they are, you know, if they're guardian spirits, they're not going to stick around and, you know, kind of like make you feel uncomfortable. So if it's making you feel uncomfortable, it's not a good thing. You know what I'm saying? It's communicating. And this is the part that kind of worries me the most. Sometimes these things are inhumane. They were never humans. They were never, anything that it's similar to what we were. It could be, a being that either comes from a different dimension or something that was manifested through bad energy or something, you know, trapped it here. Whatever the case is, it doesn't belong here. It doesn't belong with you. And you shouldn't keep it there and you shouldn't encourage it to be there either. So I would say super caution. Do not do anything that you can't close. So once you open something, opening is by introducing what you're going to do and talking about it, set your intentions, and then you tell this thing, I'm done, I'm closing it, you need to go, don't bother me, don't touch me, whatever it is that's happening, that needs to stop and you need to move on. So there you go. So the things I've done, I mentioned already, protect yourself, is do a prayer intention, carry batteries in your pocket and set white light or energy, positive energy around you to protect you. And then at the end, like I just mentioned, close it. Whatever it is you're talking to, close it up. Don't let it linger there at all. Don't let it think that it can just chill out and be like, I'll be back tomorrow to talk. You know what I'm saying? No. Y'all need judo chops if that's what you're doing. Let me find out. Let me just find out, okay, if you're doing that. Because, you're going to get a judo chop, from a virtual judo chop I'm giving you right now if you're doing that. If you're smiling, you're thinking, whoops, man, you're messing yourself up. I mean, you're setting yourself up as well. So don't do it, please. Man, I can't stress it enough. All right, so so EVPs is nothing new. I guess the terminology is electronic. It's a new term, right? But the act of actually capturing spirits and ghosts has been around for a while. I mean, I dug into the background history of this, you know, kind of phenomenon, and you know, I keep on finding things from as early as the 1800s. I mean, like, that's when people started thinking it was a cool idea to do it. I mean, I don't know how cool that is. I get it. It's kind of like, you know, you're talking to somebody from a different level or whatever. But as recording started becoming popular, you know, like in the 1840s to 1920s, you know, those groups and spiritualist religious movements that were going on during that point, and you know, they were really into trying to get mediums to contact these spirits, you know, and you know, using photography, and using different type of recording mechanisms. Like, you know, or even Ouija boards to communicate was a thing that was really popular and part of, you know, like the early, you know, like I said, to the mid-1840s and early 1920s, you know, of the 90s, you know, where this was a thing that people would gather around and kind of start doing this. I guess the part that for me was kind of like, It worried me more than anything. I felt like it was the way I was reading this stuff. It felt like it was a thing to do. Like, hey, let's go to the movies and watch, you know, Star Wars, you know, which I did, and it was awesome. They were like, hey, let's gather around and try to commune with the spirits. I'm like, what? No, don't do that. Like, let them be, you know, they're there, they're not trying to, you know, harm us, you know, but some there are that you shouldn't communicate with. And I think when you don't know that, that's when you create so many problems, you know, and that's the part that I always tell them, you got to watch out. Like, you don't know what doors are being opened by, you know, by you doing this, you know what I'm saying? So when I hear about mediums talking about, and I've seen seance happening, I've only seen them, but I've never been in one, which is great. I don't think I need to. I know what they do, you know, but the seance part, I think that's a delicate thing that you're doing. So when you're trying to talk to spirits at that type of level, you know, if you have somebody who's really good and who's actually legit, like a medium that knows what they're, you know, how, what the mechanism, what the steps are to protect the people who are in the seance, how to communicate, how to stop it when it gets out of hand, then you're in good shape. But if you're with this novice who is interested in being a medium and has never really experienced it, didn't really study it, doesn't really understand the holistic and kind of like the whole entire thing that encompasses being a medium, then what's going to end up happening is that you're going to open something and then you're going to let something in. And that's the problem, that people let a lot of things in. So I'm thinking, so some people who are going through some inhumane hauntings or even like inhuman hauntings, things like, you know, demons or, you know, things that have never been alive or never, you know, they've been manifested through energy. I've heard some way. This is a little rewind button. I'm pretty right now. All right. So I've heard that the whole alien phenomenon is actually demons in disguise. I know you've heard it. I have questions. I'm very fascinated by it. I think there's two things going on. I think there's aliens happening, like aliens, like, you know, dimensional creatures or things from another planet that are coming here and doing it. Oh, by the way, if you have been checking out my Facebook timeline or my Twitter timeline, recently, last 24 hours, I just posted something about the New York Times has released documents that they interviewed the Pentagon about their program they had that was investigating UFOs between 2007 and 2012, and the program still exists. You got to read it. Go check it out. It's on my timeline, It is an amazing story. It's like, it's almost like, you know, it's not like, it is the Pentagon telling you there's UFOs. They don't know what they are. They actually found pieces and technology that they have housed, and they've done breakthroughs. This is stuff we've been talking about for years, but now the Pentagon is actually saying it's happened. I just love this stuff. It's like, I can't, like, almost I can't. So check out my Paranormal Ride Twitter and Facebook. It has all those the details. There's even amazing footage from the military where there's, I think it's a Hornet fighter jet that the pilot is baffled, and he's like, yo, what is that? There's like a whole fleet of them. This thing is like, his reaction is classic. Now, they never said what time or location this mission was happening, but it happened, and they captured it, and they released it to the public so they can, you know, people know it's part of the Information Act. You got to release things that belongs to the public now. It does, because it's been 10 years. Once 10 years hits, it gets released. This comes from 2007 and got released. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so these things are coming up. It's happening. All right. Fast forward back to this topic. All right. So I think there's something going on with this alien demon thing. So it's said that demons are an oppressive negative energy that manipulate people's minds or psyche or balance and energy, whatever it is. I think that it's reflecting our modern concerns, our modern horrors, that they are projecting these modern fears into something that makes sense to us. So some of these demons actually could be aliens in disguise, trying to cover themselves as extraterrestrials, ETs, whatever you want to call them, the grays, but they're really just demons. I know, but still, a lot of the things I'm hearing makes a lot of sense. Only because this stuff is terrifying. Some of these stories are just too much, and I'm not down with it. All right. So you have to be careful when you're trying to commune with somebody in a seance. Like, you know, if you open up a door and it says, "Hey, I'm Uncle Tommy that you've never met. I want to talk." Don't trust it. Don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, ask relevant questions to the situation, what's going on, you know. Be careful when it tells you things that you're not asking for, you know. Those are all signs that it's not something that should be there, in my super humble opinion, because I've been doing it for a little while, so I think I kind of got it. All right, so once you use all these tools, you know, EVPs are my favorite ones. The other one is EMF readers. EMF readers are super dope. I love them. They're quick and they're direct. So EMF readers are used by electricians to measure where there's electrical flows coming from, or it's a very sensitive tool to the electrical field, all right, and magnetic field as well. So if you have an EMF reader, if you put it near a light source, it starts giving you a spectrum of what, you know, what the actual magnetic field it's measuring, you know, electronic magnetic field, right? So EMF. So a light bulb is releasing this energy into the air. That's why when I mentioned the story about the Ouija board when I was young, the light went out, because whatever was happening in that room, it needed energy to manifest, and it blew and it turned off the light in the room, which was berserk. I'm not happy about that. Not a story that I'd be like, hey, guess what? No, this is not a good story. Like, I wish I didn't have to tell you these things, right? But that's what's happening. So the EMF reader, if there's a spirit manifesting itself, it could use that to communicate with. Think of it like smoke signals, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, or headlights when you're driving, you flash them to let the person know, hey, you can go and I'll let you pass, or, you know, whatever, your lights are off. Communication, you know, it's like a visual communication, okay? So you can use it in the same way. So you tell this spirit, you say, hey, I have this EMF reader, And all you have to do is come closer or, you know, do what you do to release energy. So this meter goes up, you know, from green to red, red to green, whatever the spectrum is that your EMF detector is how it's measuring it, right? At what level and what spectrum, anyways. So as you're using this tool, you can start asking it questions like, hey, listen, are you in this room? If it's on red, that means a yes. You know, if it's make this bounce two times, you know, you start doing all this like little code stuff, right? You say, all right, so it's not a fluke, right? So you do this like this scientific kind of like test, right? You say, hey, make this spike up twice in a row for yes and then once for no. So, for example, you would say something like, my name is Tom, you know, and then you would ask, is my name Tom, yes or no? And then if it says yes, like the code was two red flashes for yes, then you know you're getting some communication, right? If it says no right after that, then you know it's not reading it properly. But even before you get all this, you actually have to make sure the room doesn't have this weird magnetic field. And I would do that. I would sweep the room in an investigation with an EMF reader to see if there was some weird reading. Like there could be like a power source somewhere that's just giving off too much electronic magnetic field. It's just overwhelming. That's why in my office when I'm in, you know, working, I don't turn on the incandescent lights, or I love natural light, and I usually people walk in my office like, why are you in the dark? I'm like, dude, this is natural light. I just need natural light. This is just, I feel overwhelmed. Some people actually get sick when the electromagnetic field is too high. Some people are very delicate to it, and if their head's near a power source in the wall, and you're sleeping near it, it can actually mess you up. So EMF readers are pretty cool to be able to help you with your feng shui or with your setup in your room so you're not being bombarded by this electric magnetic field. Anyway, so some people get sick, queasy, it messes things up, but it can also be used as an energy source for spirits to manifest, good and bad. So there you go. Another good tool. So if you're going to use it, you make sure you have a code. And the very simple one, this is the last one I'm going to talk about. It's super easy to use the flashlight, but it has to be a screw-on flashlight. So when you tighten up the flashlight, it activates the connection, which then turns on the light. Or if you turn it another direction, it turns it off. So the trick is that you want to unscrew this thing so it's at this balance where if any little type of like tapping or vibration happens, the light would turn on automatically. So you have to twist it so the light is at its point that it's connected and not connected. It's almost like the electrons are touching it. So I've done this with like three lights or two lights, and I set them all in a row and put them in such a delicate situation that if I was to, and the way you test it to make sure it's not just, you know, the vibration is not going to activate it, is that you put it on something solid like a table, and then you bang the table. If the lights come on, then you see that you had to bang the table for that light to even, the vibration of it to even make it come on. So then you put your hands next to it and you tap it, like the table right next to where the lights are. And if it doesn't come on, then that means that even light taps don't affect it. You know, you have to slam the table for it to activate it. So you do all these little tests before you even try this, right? So this is if you've done a good electric magnetic fields kind of like search around the room so there's no weird interference going on. And that also will affect your tests and also will affect your recording. So make sure you do sweeps of the room. Anyway, all right, so let's get back to this light or this flashlight technique. So you have a flashlight, you loosen up the light source so there's a connection with the battery and the light source, so it's very delicate. So you can then use it to communicate, and I've used an investigation that's happened, and it's really weird when it does. So we would tell it, hey, I want you to turn this light on. If you're there, all you have to do is touch the light. And the theory is that they have so much energy that they can then create electronic, you know, kind of like connection. Like it makes a current connect, right? So then you do that, and then what happens is if you do have something there, it turns the light on. And what I've experienced, you say, hey, if you're there, turn the light on twice, and it flashes twice. And it's just weird. When you see it, it creeps you out. It makes you feel, like, pale. You feel like the energy is draining out of your body. And that's why you need the batteries, because it might be taking you, actually might be taking your energy. That's why you need quartz or your stones or whatever it is they use for protection. You need that because that's what can manifest. That's what can happen, all right? So that's a very simple way. You can go on YouTube and look these things up. It's very easy. So EVP recorders can be done with any digital recorder. You can play it back and listen to it. The other one is using the EMF readers, electromagnetic fields, and these little measuring devices have a spectrum where green, and then there's red levels, high and low levels, and you can see it. It's very easy. So it's green, yellow, and red. And the last one I mentioned was the lighting one. We're using a flashlight and you're loosening up. It has to be a screw. It has to be one that you can screw on and off. It can't be one of the ones that has the clicking ones in the back where you just click and the light comes on. You need to screw on ones. So those are three simple ways to do it. I really don't recommend you try to do Ouija. I don't recommend that you do seances or try to open up portals or try to communicate in a way that's safe and try to ask really clear questions. Don't let it ask questions because then it's not you who's actually taking control. It can get very complex. And if you're doing it for the first time, don't do it alone. Do it with somebody so they're there to check up on you so you don't go nuts. You won't go nuts. But, I mean, it's like it could be very scary if you don't know what's going on. And this does not have to be done at night. It could be done during the day, midday. If you could do it with the lights on at night. It doesn't matter. Nighttime doesn't affect your haunting, kind of like capturing things. But if you're actually recording, and you're doing it with night vision, and you're doing or with different light spectrums, you need the dark because there's no way you don't want light interference. But other than that, if you're doing recordings the way I'm telling you to do it, you can do it with the lights on. All right. Wow, that show went by super fast. I'm wrapping up already. Oh, man. I mean, that was a lot of fun. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to do this show, my people. That was fun. It can also be very exhausting if you're not doing it right, my people. I mean, it could definitely affect you. And that's why, you know, I talk a lot about this, like, you know, movement of positive energy. It's nothing new. It's not an extraordinary, brand new kind of like awakening. Excuse me. It's very, very clear. So this affects your everyday life, you know. There's a saying that says happiness is when you think what you say and what you do are in harmony. So remember that. So happiness is what you think and say. So if you're thinking something and you're saying something different, you're not in harmony. And this was Gandhi who said that, which was a pretty cool little quote from him. But there's been a lot of, you know, teachers out there that there's so much to really kind of like manifest in your life, you know. There's so many cool intentions and positive intentions out there that I think people are just, you know, right now they're in flight or fight mode and they're trying to survive, and I get it, and it's not easy. Sometimes you just can't, you know, chuck it all up to like good energy all the time. You know, it sometimes is so super frustrating that you just fall, you know, you just fall apart sometimes, you know, and that can be, oh man, that can be tough. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, you're trying to get things kind of like rolling in life, and you know, next thing you know, it kind of like, it hits you like a ton of bricks. You know what I'm saying? And then you're like kind of stuck. And careful with that. You know what I mean? You have to be very, very careful how you allow people to use that energy in a way that's going to, give you a positive life, a positive kind of like kind of trajectory, you know, where you want to go. And that includes anything that you do and you plan. The new year is coming. Get ready for it. Be positive about it. And I hope you all enjoy the show. I just wanted to quickly say thank you to a lot of people who are joining me for the first time and listening to the show. Thank you so much for joining me. Been having some awesome conversations with people during the week. So feel free to always send me a message. Don't be shy. You know, I hopefully that inspires me during the week so I can make a better show. You know, shout outs to people all across the U.S. Thank you for joining me. All the way from L.A. to Florida to all the way to New Hampshire. What's going on in Hampshire? And Maine. Sheesh, Maine is up there. What's popping in New York and Rhode Island, Wisconsin, Indiana. What up, my people? You guys are awesome over there. In South Carolina and the United Kingdom, the U.K., people from Brazil, Deutschland, Guatemala, Chile, United Kingdom, Nigeria, the Philippines, and it looks like Mali, you know, languages that I need to pick up. Mali's, Francais, Dutch, and Portuguese, and Espanol, and English, all those different. I need to make my show diverse, yo. You know how it is. This is a global world. People are listening all over the place. So, you know, you gotta make it do. You know, Italia as well. You know, everybody around the world, Canada as well. What up, Canada? What's popping with you? People, I had fun today. I hope I didn't scare the pants out of some people, but if I did, good. No, that's not good. I'm kidding. No. Giving you knowledge. Pass it on. Let people know about this show. Let them know about Paranormal Ride. And, you know, join me on Facebook. Tweet, retweet me. Thank you for the retweeters out there. You guys are awesome and excellent. Definitely need that energy from you guys. You are the main reason. The Millard Report did something really cool and gave me a nice convo. What's up, my people? Candy Burke, what up? Thanks for retweeting me. People who will follow me for the like Holler Life, what up? Thanks for joining me and many more. I'll try to shout you all out as much as I can, but I got to wrap up the show. It's done. Obrigado to everybody who joined me. And we will see you next week. It's going to be an Xmas edition. I love Xmas. Oh my gosh, I love that stuff. All right, people. Be good. Do good. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you know, life is way too short in order for us to not find a way to build, you know, and do awesome stuff. All right. Later, people. Love y'all.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Thank you. with song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, you.